Hi, I'm Azriel, and you have made it to my show. Welcome. I'm excited to have you here and talk about whatever we're going to talk about today. My only request is that you don't request a twin flame reading, because I don't do those, okay? Like, I don't do those. Otherwise, welcome.
This week, I am in a special kind of communication with a living spirit who is 14 years.
Correction, that would be 14 hours into my future and not 14 years. Though now I'm extremely curious to see what transpires between Mr. Rick Michael King and myself and our work over the course of 14 years, or perhaps 14 years on the dot from today. We're just gonna have to wait and find out. Okay, back to the show. Bye.
Into my future, as I currently sit here right now recording this, I'm very excited to bring to the show another astrologer and tarot card reader and new age pioneer from down under, Mr. Rick Michael King. Welcome.
Thank you very much. What an introduction. I'm very honored to be here. Very pleased to join you today.
Yes, let's get very theatrical with this. And
I love it. I love it. Can you do all of my intros for me?
Oh, I would love that. That would be fantastic. I love being theatrical. So what does New Age Pioneer mean? Like, obviously, we all know what an astrologer is and a tarot card reader, or at least I would assume most people are if they're listening right now. But what is a New Age Pioneer? Like, explain that.
So it's something that has kind of evolved and developed over time, and as I've gotten older and as time goes on, and particularly this year, 2020, good old 2020, we're moving into a new age and a new way of being where the future's not what it used to be, and I mean that the future is not what it used to be. We're stepping further into the Aquarian age. So the rules are changing. There's just so much that is different, and the way we need to be is different. So with that new age, I want to pioneer that change of mindset, heart intelligence, how we view things, and particularly the work that you and I do, the field that we're in. It's just such a natural part of life that as we move into this new age, it's going to become more significant, and it's going to become more mainstream and more utilized for us to evolve ourselves and live our best life. So New Age Pioneer, you, people like me, people like yourself, I consider you a New Age Pioneer. We're bringing this stuff into the mainstream for the betterment of humanity. Yeah, so that's where that came from.
I love that. Can I add that as a sub? Like a little subtitle to New Age Pioneer. I've given the stamp of approval on that.
Do it. Go ahead and do it. There needs to be more.
Yes.
We
should start a club.
Yes, a very exclusive club. But yeah, the New Age Pioneers, we could be a band.
We could be. I play instruments. We could totally do this.
I'll sing. I can sing. I love singing.
It's happening. It's happening right now. Everybody listening, you hear this happening. So as a new age pioneer, how did you get your start? Like what was it that pushed you into metaphysics and all of this new age stuff?
Yeah, it's very soap opera dramatic. You love a flair for the dramatic. Here we go.
Yes.
My childhood was quite crappy. It was pretty bad, to be honest. You know, I'm a survivor and thriver of child sexual abuse. My mother was heavily into drugs. We traveled around a lot. I've been to 16 different primary schools. She died when I was 12. I lost her quite early. And my father was quite loveless, ruled with a fist. So the childhood and the teenage years were really tumultuous. And when I reached 19, I decided that I was going to sit out and, you know, find my own way in the world and my own life. But I also needed answers for what had happened. Nobody talked about it in my family. They were all very emotionally stunted. So I had to find my own way around what had happened, to make sense of it. Why did it happen to me? What do I do with it? And after trying a few different avenues, you know, I had a look at different religions, counseling, hypnotherapy, self-help seminars, like you name it, I looked into it. And it wasn't until I really started getting into astrology and the mystical arts. You know, I'm not a palmistry reader, I'm not a palm reader, but things like that, tarot, palm reading, I Ching, chakras, spirit work. And it really, especially looking at my birth chart, my astrology birth chart, things started to come out there. And it's like, I made a soul contract, and just the concept of soul contract came up. So I got into this work because it gave me answers where a lot of other modalities couldn't. So I charged ahead with it and turned pretty much what was my disadvantage into my strength to be able to help others. And that's where this came in. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
Wow. That's, dare I say, a beautiful story. It, you know, as difficult as it was, but now you're in a place where it really is a beautiful experience. You just went through this blossom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It helps you not only just with the mystical side of life, metaphysics, astrology, and magic in the world. Mm-hmm. It helps you deal with stuff. Mystical arts. You know, I'm not a palmistry reader. I'm not a palm reader, but things like that. Tarot, palm reading, I Ching, chakras, spirit work. And it really, especially looking at my birth chart, my astrology birth chart, things started to come out there. And it's like, I made a soul contract, and just the concept of soul contract came up. So I got into this work because it gave me answers where a lot of other modalities couldn't. So I charged ahead with it and turned pretty much what was my disadvantage into my strength to be able to help others. And that's where this came in. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
Wow. That's, dare I say, a beautiful story. It, you know, as difficult as it was, but now you're in a place where it really is a beautiful experience. You just went through this blossom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It helps you not only just with the mystical side of life, metaphysics, astrology, and magic in the world. Mm-hmm. It helps you deal with stuff on the earthly plane and physical plane as well. You know, it helps you build resilience. It helps you understand why some things happen the way that they do, and to not let it crush you, that you do have fortitude to, you know, move on and go on. There's things that are greater than you that are at play. And having that understanding, you might not understand everything of it that goes on, and that's not our job, but to trust and have faith in it. It's happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got strength to move ahead. You've got your spirit team behind you, just all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, very, very powerful, very powerful.
Indeed. Yeah. And I love as well, the power. I think it goes on so many aspects throughout your life as a person. You know, you have the spiritual aspect, as you said, and then it all ties in with how you view yourself and how you carry yourself, and how you can actually, being a victim of any circumstance in life, you can take that situation, assess it, realize all, you know, all of the little factors involved, and then go, oh, now I'm the one in control. I'm totally the one in control now of the situation, and I have power, and I can conquer this. And that's very liberating.
Absolutely. Very liberating. Absolutely. Yeah. Great word. Liberating. It is. It's freeing. It's liberating to have that knowledge that you do. You've got hand in the situation, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not powerless. Mm. So what was your first step then into doing things like this professionally? Was it astrology or was it tarot?
It was astrology. Yeah. I'm self-taught, mainly self-taught. I do have a certification, but that came later in years. how I started out with the astrology was reading horoscopes in a paper, cutting them out of the paper, keeping a scrapbook of every star sign. Then I would relate that to, say, for example, Librans, all of the Librans in my life. I would look at what was going on in their lives and then have a look at what the horoscope was saying. Then I would jump on and have a look at the chart of the day, how that astrologer came to that, what planet was where, what effect that was having, how that related to all of the different Librans in my life, and used my friends and loved ones as case studies, and then just kept mapping the chart, applying it to my own life as well. Then I ventured out and started reading for people, looking at their birth charts and going, this is what's happening for you here. Lessons, strength, past life stuff brought through, talents, all of that kind of stuff, and just kept going from there and found that I had a knack for it. Yeah, so it built from there.
That's, I have never in my life heard of anybody breaking down astrology in such a way. Like, how did that even come to mind to do? Most people are like, where's the class? I'm interested in this. What class can I take? What seminar can I go to? But you're just like, I'm gonna cut this out and paste this here and cut that out, and we're gonna assess and draw lines and what?
Yeah, it's a little bit Rain Man, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
It's just, I think I love that part of my makeup. I think my astro makeup, my astro DNA, and my personality type is, I'm an investigator, and I love to get, it's Scorpio thing too. I love getting to the bottom of things, the bottom of the mysteries, the intricates, knowing how things work. It's not enough for me to be on the surface and go, Librans, you know, they love beauty and colour and they're about marriage and love and relationship. I want to know more. What makes a Libran tick? There is more than sun sign. What other planets play their role? Yeah, I need to
know
the real itty gritty core stuff about it.
Yeah, definitely. Then that was one thing that really, that I picked up. So for our listeners, we actually met via social media. And just in following you and your posts and what you talk about with astrologically as well as with tarot, your approach on it is very different than what I've seen a lot of other readers and astrologers. Just, how do I even say it? You're different. You have a different spin on things. And it very much aligns with the way that I like to present reading, you know, reading charts or doing psychic work, anything. Just that there's so many different options.
Yeah.
The fact that you had said that in one of your posts, you were talking about pathways. And I'm like, yes, he gets it. This is it. This is so good. And then I know another astrologer, Debbie Barnett, she's been on the show. She also has a similar viewpoint on, which is different for an astrologer, because I think you two are the exceptions. I think you two are the only two astrologers I've ever known who don't believe that astrology is fixed, this is just what it is and you can't do anything else about it, you know? So I love that. I love that coming from you and from her, and that you guys are so open to blending. And no, this, your chart reads X, Y, Z, but these things are things you can overcome.
Yeah.
If there's a struggle, you can shift around it, or you can get stuck in shit, whatever, it's up to you.
Yeah, I often say that astrology is not a dictatorship. It's influential, and it's up to you how you choose to work with what's presented to you. And yeah, that's that. It's open in that respect. If you choose to go against the energy, you can do that. You will reap the consequences, though.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough ride.
Strap yourself in, brace yourself. Yeah,
exactly. So
totally. It's very fluid. It's very flexible. It's just an influential energy. It's not fixed. It's not a dictatorship.
Yeah, I love that. I love that explanation. I've previously used it as I once had aspirations of being an architect. So when I first started doing all of this stuff, it was very like, no, this is a blueprint. You can erase here.
Yeah.
And draw on it a line. Make it go that way.
I love that. Very cool.
So when you do your, do you do your reading separate, or do you combine them, your astrology and tarot?
Of late, particularly in the last 12 months, I've actually started combining them. I used to just offer astrology and separate just offer tarot and separate mm-hmm. just offer intuitive readings. But now I combine them because I find
I love that.
Yeah, it's so enriching. It just gives you so much more direction and message from spirit to be able to help. Because where I find astrology to be, well, lots of a bit of a term, astrology to be umbrella influential energy, and the cards come in and answer specifics.
Okay. Yeah,
the cards can tell a story, a narrative, whereas astrology gives influential impact energy, such as, you know, your Saturn return and Saturn lessons. That's one kind of, you know, umbrella influence. But you can ask the cards a question, as in, how will it go if I go for this job? So we avoid yes or no kind of answer questions, but
yeah,
what's the energy around me accepting this job? Whereas astrology might say, you know what, moon is void, of course, nothing will come of this situation. But with the cards, you can go, look, you know, success is guaranteed, but it's going to be hard work. It can give you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. That's, yeah, I fully believe in blending modalities. Yeah. I blend mine all the time.
You do. Yeah, I love that.
Even when I'm quote unquote not supposed to, because I do still have mine on my website separate. So you can do a natal chart reading, or you can do a psychic reading, mediumship, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do just tend to always, even with NLP, it always gets thrown in there. They always get this huge package of information, which is great.
Yeah.
I should just condense it all into one. Who am I kidding? I'm not.
Condense it all. Definitely condense it all. Because I think even for you, your own intuition, intuitive feeling about it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I can take a bit from here and take a bit from here, because this is what's going to make the story. I have also found, though, that not everyone likes both. I've got people who don't believe in astrology, but they'll come and consult the cards, and vice versa. And to me, that's really odd. And look, each to their
own, not
judging. Yeah, but to me, that's really odd. I'm kind of like, oh, that's really interesting. You like one, but not the other. I'm not sure what's going on here. Yeah, I know, right? I'm the same. Like, I've got nothing for that.
I've got nothing.
But to each their own,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want to believe. Wherever you're willing to go out and get help, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll help you any way that I can, whichever way you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a special person that you worked with? You mentioned that you worked a lot, at least with your astrology, with people that you know. Was there one person who kind of helped push you or encouraged you into being a full-time astrologer? Or was this just your own tenacity and you're like, yes, I'm going to learn all of this and this is what I'm going to be. I'm an astrologer now.
I think, yeah, it was more of that. It was what I was drawn to and what kept bringing me back. And the instant instinctual reactions to kind of things. Like when people would say something's going on in your life, I'd be like, oh, I wonder what's happening in the sky. And I'd go straight and consult a chart or a book or something else. I did have people who inspired that kind of work. Jonathan Kaner, he's a British astrologer. I used to read him all the time because I loved the way that he created a narrative when he was giving the forecast. And I'm like, you know what, you're telling a story and I love the story. It's not this kind of, you know, full moon, your emotions are going to run high, Venus is in Scorpio, so watch out for being a nasty flirt. And you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that kind of stuff. He would tell a story and he'd put a song quote in there, a lyric from a song, and go, this is really relevant for you today because... And I was like, I'm inspired by that. So I was inspired, not necessarily pushed or worked with someone. I think this was an avenue that I was going to flow into, fall into, but definitely inspired by that kind of work through Jonathan Kano. Yeah.
That's lovely. I'm going to have to do some research now. Thank you for the 411.
That's okay. It's now his son that has taken over because I think Jonathan has retired. So his son, Oscar Kano, is now writing forecasts as well. So yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's one heck of a family business.
I know, right?
Man, I wonder if my kids would ever do anything like that. Here, just take the rings, take it over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the new family business. It's not the corner shop or the building trade. You're going to be an astrologer. Yeah.
Going to be an astrologer. I want to talk a bit about clients.
Yeah.
Clients, you know, I wanted there to be a break in between the last topic of people coming to you and, you know, just like you believe in this, but you don't believe in this.
Yeah, right.
But there are clients who, aside from things like that, just what their belief systems are, who are very interesting cats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that a lot of people who give readings, they come into the same situation, and I have my own feelings on this particular question. There's a few questions, but the one I'm going to ask about. No, I'm going to ask you too. I want to know what you're, because I'm sure that you've gotten these too. Everybody does. So the person who sits down in front of you and just kind of crosses their arms and says,
oh, wait, I lost you. I lost you for about 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're back. Okay, sorry. You could repeat what you were asking.
So just what's your take on that when somebody sits down? Like, to me, my skin just kind of crawls when I'm asked, just tell me what I need to know. Because it's like, well, I could tell you any number of things. That doesn't mean that you necessarily want to hear it or that you should hear it at this time. And I've had people who I've sat down when I first started giving readings and, okay, I'll tell you whatever I can pick out from around you. And they're like, yeah, but I already knew that. Nice. So we just wasted our time here.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, it definitely what I this is such a good question. It really is such a good question. I'm laughing because I hear you. I hear you so much. I just, when I was teaching at the local community center, I've taught astrology and tarot there. I would say to the students, one of the first things I would say was, people are going to come and test you. They will be the ones who just sit there, arms crossed, and go, oh, I just want a reading. And it's like, don't lie to me. You've come here, but no one just sits there and just, I just want a reading. You've got something in mind. You don't need to test me. I'm going to help you. You're not going to lead me with what you're saying or anything like that. I'm not interested in you doing that. Like, do you go to your doctor, your GP, sit there and go, guess what's wrong with me? No, you don't do it. Like, you don't do that, do you? And that profession is... hours, you know. So when they do sit there and they say, oh, I just want a reading, arms crossed, and all that kind of stuff, I go, okay. And I always preface my readings with, you know, the disclaimer that goes before, and I always say as well, I don't mince my words and I don't sugarcoat what I say to you. I say nothing to offend, but I just give it to you straight. And I'm like, yep, just read the cards as they come out. And I did have a lady come to me, and I've had a number of people do it, and yes, my skin crawls too. But I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to give it to you as I see it. And by the end of it, she was bawling, crying, tears streaming down her face. And I'm like, so are you sure there was nothing in particular you wanted to talk about? I have fun with those ones in the little, you know, behind the scenes professional, what we know in our world. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of fun mm-hmm. with those ones. I'm like, if you're going to test me, I'm just going to give it to you straight and you're going to walk away mind blown.
Love it. I love that.
I prefer that they come with a question. Come with a question because, like you said, and a great point, by the way, there are a million different scenarios or pathways that you could go down the minute you get up from that table and walk out the door. The minute you make a different decision, whatever I've told you could completely change.
Precisely.
With a general of what I've given you. So if you come to me with a question, we can work with the energy of the present moment and I can give you the best outcome or scenario based on that energetic direction.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like more people need to be talking about this, more, you know, people like us, readers, because Hollywood, as fun and fantastic as it is, really puts this persona out of what a psychic is or what a tarot reading is or readings in general, you know, and it's like, oh, this is fixed. No. And I always say the same thing too. This right here, whatever we talk about is the option on your pathway as it is right now.
Yeah, exactly. You
make a different decision, we're going to have different conversations later on down the road.
Exactly, yeah.
Started giving readings, I was so nervous about throwing anybody off their pathway that I asked my guides, if I'm about to say something out of timing for them, tongue timing. So... For the first year and a half, 2 years, and sometimes still, if I get nervous, then I'll feel them just go, just shut up. And I'll start to stutter really, really bad until it clicks. Oh, they're just literally, okay, I'm going to stop talking. Moving on.
I love that. Spirit team, we're trying to help you here. Shut up.
Yeah, it's funny. And some of my clients that are still with me that I've had since when I first started, they'll recognize that. They'll say something, oh, am I not supposed to know? Like, oh, okay. Maybe not right now.
I love it. Hey, you've been coming to me for too long, right? You're knowing too much of the tricks.
So then, okay, this is my other ultimate.
Oh no, every time that goes to happen, it frees it. Come on, spirit team, help us out.
And that one, uh-oh, I lost you.
Yeah, every time you go to lead in with one of these important questions, it freezes. I'm like, spirit team, come on, help us out here.
Is it my guides? Are they shutting me up right now? Beautiful.
Exhibit A. This is perfect.
It's happening now.
No, we're going to answer this question. Please. Sorry, Azriel, please give it to me again.
The twin flame question. Is he my twin flame? That question irks me beyond belief because this person is walking in 9 times out of 10 with a laundry basket of issues that is like, okay, even if you met your twin flame or you were with them right now, you're going to completely ruin this relationship. They will, and I'm not a big twin flame person anyways, because to me, in my experience, I've seen all of those, they're really fun at the start and then they tend to crash and burn.
Yeah.
So, you know, look for somebody more solid than that twin flame experience. Like, people don't understand, they don't really grasp what that means. Like, go for your soulmate or go for, because we have more than one soulmate, but just like, look for someone more solid. You're not in high school anymore. This isn't going to the drag races and drinking, you know, like have a real relationship. But it irks me because like fix you first and then you can be ready for said person, twin flame or whomever it is, you know. But what's your take on that? Because you get that question. You get that question.
Yeah, and I am very much along the same lines as yourself and what you just said. It's like, first of all, if you're asking for it, you're not ready for it. Pure and simple. if you're wanting it to come along, you are caught up and swept up in the romance of the found my twin flame. It's actually hard work. It's hard work to have your twin flame. So like, go for a soulmate first. Take yourself through the levels, all right? It's like a game of Mario. Go level one first. If you complete that level, then go level two. Then make your way up to twin flame. But you know what? The romance around it, thank you very much, Hollywood. It's not that.
Another one.
It's hard work. And if you mm-hmm. have come to meet your twin flame in that particular lifetime, this or another, you've got some really important work to do. So are you actually ready for that? So when people, same as you, when people come to me, I kind of veer off and go, all right, let me explain something to you. So I agree. It's a very irky question, and simply because of the lack of education behind it.
Mm-hmm. How do we put the word out?
We just got to, I think it's one of those ripple, drop a pebble and let it kind of go out like that. So when people do start to understand it, listening to your podcast, you know, the others that we talk to and educate them, that word of mouth will spread, I think.
That ripple effect, okay.
Yeah, people love to be knowledgeable, like on top knowledgeable. So if they go back to their friends and their girlfriend or guy friend says to them, I want to find my twin flame, then they'll jump up and go, no, you don't know what's involved. My reader told me. So it'll spread that way, kind of thing. But I guess the other lesson is as well, go ahead and find your twin flame. You jump straight into that and then come back and tell me how it's gone.
Tell me how that went. Then we'll do some energy clearing, because your heart's going to be torn up in a million pieces. Your brain's going to be scrambled. You're not have had any sleep for months. Dressed out of your mind.
Yeah, I'll be waiting here with a list of practitioners that you can go to and things that you can
do.
A shopping list of, you know, things that you can buy.
Exactly.
The other question, well, along those lines that irks me is the one where they ask, when will I get married? So along similar lines, not twin flame, but more so, when will I get married? And I'm kind of like, before we go into this reading, before we start, let me ask you a question. Are you seeing anybody? And when the person says to me, no, I'm single, I'll be like, look, I'm not taking your money. We're not doing this reading. Like, you've got a few steps you need to go through first. Try finding someone. Then come and talk to me about getting married.
Then come and talk to me.
You're single.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're asking me about marriage. When will I get married? Like, it's how long is a piece of string, you know? So those questions kind of irk me as well. Yeah.
Then, okay, we're going to stick for a moment with your readings. And we've talked a lot about astrology, but I want for you to talk a little bit more about tarot, because obviously this is the big, big part of what you do. When I've watched you lay out the cards, do you have a specific, I'm not a tarot card reader, I have no idea, I have a basic knowledge that there's a spread, there's different spreads that you can do, there's different layouts. Do you have a favorite?
I do have a favorite, yeah, I've got a couple. I do like to do freestyle, because I kind of go where, you know, the flow takes me or the energy takes me. So sometimes I might draw three cards. I've got seven decks sitting in front of me right now, and I go to different decks.
For me?
Different things. Yeah, yeah.
Seven decks?
Seven decks, yeah. Four of them are actually tarot. Two of them are astrology oracle. And one of them is Secret Language of Light. So it's more spirit, more oracle kind of thing, because I like to get...
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It is, but I just love it. It's very...
Yeah, it's not work when you love it.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have a specific... The Mystic Seven is my go-to, and I will share that with you. to show you which one I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so...
So why did you gravitate towards this? It just felt right?
It feels right, and it's not too elaborate, and it covers particular areas of the person's situation. So, you know, we've got the first card, which is the current situation. What's blocking that? What was in the past? What do you need to know? What's hiding? You know, next stage and final message or outcome. I like that structure of it, and it's more condensed than the Celtic cross. So the Celtic cross is like 10 cards, whereas I'm all right with 7. 7's good for me. So I like that one. That is a good go-to one because it does cover the main points of area and helps create that narrative that I was talking about. And I think that's what a lot of readers struggle with, is creating the story, the narrative, put it all together and relay it to the person's situation. I've got another one that I created. I made up myself. I'll share that one with you because I just love
really
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And I showed
look at you now.
This too. This one is, I've got personalized spread sample here because it's taken from the class, that my class material. But it's the lightning bolt, because I often refer to my psychic impressions or intuitive impressions as lightning bolt moments, because it just So this was to help me make a decision when I wasn't able to get that intuitive impression. So I did a lightning bolt, and you can see the lines on there that you can read it in particular rows, and they mean different things. So I like using that one too. And there's another one. It's a pentagram kind of spread, and it works with the elements. So air, earth, water, fire, ethereal. And in the center of it is the power message or power base. So I work with that one too if I need a bit of extra guidance. Yeah, they're my faves.
Awesome. So you mentioned classes. So you teach classes.
Yes, I do. Oh, is that you or is that me?
Not me.
That's okay. Let's get rid of that. My apologies. Getting a girl. They'll leave a message if they need to. Taught all of last year at our local community centre basic or beginner's astrology, beginner's tarot and intermediate tarot as well. And I've made some really good friendships out of it. I've got a group of ladies that we go out and have pizza and beer, and they come over when we're not in pandemic and lockdown, of course. But yeah, taught those classes last year at our local. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So are you doing anything online right now, or?
I have just finished up with a client. I do one-on-one courses. For people who want to get to know, it's mainly tarot. I think astrology for people, and as you would know with astrology, it is complex, it's multi-layered. I think you need to really into it to want to learn it or not. So the tarot is more popular. And I just finished up with a client now doing the basics, so learning the suits, the numerology in tarot, how to work with the major arcana and the minor arcana. And they're contemplating doing the intermediate one. So I do one-on-ones, and if I can get enough people for group, then I'll do whole group classes too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll have to talk off show on that, because I might have a few people who would be interested in taking a class with you, and at least doing perhaps a trial class before you launch anything.
Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be up for that for sure.
Sweet. All right, cool. And I think there's so many people who teach tarot classes, but I think you as an intuitive reader, we need more people like you, because as you said, so many readers get caught up on this card, this placement, this means this, and they're just so, I think they might be afraid, or they're relying too heavily on the cards to do the communicating, and they're not opening up any of this channel within themselves.
So right. Yes, that is definitely the major problem I saw when teaching the students. It was exactly what you said. It's opening up that channel and getting too caught up in the having to know everything about the technical side of it. Yeah.
Well, good. Good. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, for sure.
little pebbles in the water here. We're making
Man, we are rippling all over the place.
I'm loving it. Rippling all over the place.
I love it.
The new hashtag. We're working on it.
That's so cool. I like it. I'm it, actually. I'm rippling all over the place.
Rippling all over the place.
Statement for 2020.
So I'm not going to be, you know, one of those clients with you right now. I do actually have a question for you. If you'll share, you got your seven decks out.
They're waiting. Yep.
They're waiting. Okay. Career right now has been tremendous for me. And we spoke like very briefly prior to this, but just about where I'm at and where my focus needs to be and moving along with just everything. You know, I get very conflicted. I'm conflicted enough as a Libra. You know, I always over assess everything, but then I have all of this air. My moon is in Taurus, so that's like, okay, I'm going to do this on my terms, on my time. And I'm arguing with myself, you know, like the inspired person who's like, yes, we have to do this and then we can do this. And they're all, I've got so many amazing ideas. And then there's my Taurus moon, the other side of me. And it's like, not right now. You know, later when I say, I am you, you are me. Let's.
Yeah, it's that hold up.
Let's just do this.
Woo it up.
Actually, I'm going to stand back. You're the reader and do whatever grid or chart layout feels right for you in this with me. But just career, like what do I need to know? Is there anything that I should be pushing more towards in one avenue or another? Because I got so many flipping projects.
Okay. All right. So we want some. So to clarify your question a little further,
okay.
Are we talking about so direction, but what? And because you've got a lot. So what we're doing is we're going to funnel down what needs focus and attention. Is that right? Because you've got a lot of project ideas. What's going to be more beneficial? What's going to be the most advantageous, that kind of stuff. Great, okay, cool. What I can also say is I've just put up my September forecasts for each sign on my YouTube channel. I think you'll find them for Libra very interesting, particularly to do with your question. And these forecasts are more predictive. It's not, I do use my astro board. You'll see the tools there. It's not necessarily a matter of astro chart prediction. This is more message, universal energy, psychic prediction using cards and astro board. Okay. I do know what came up for Libra was money. Uh-huh. A lot of Taurus stuff. Taurus energy came out twice in there. So I'm very, very interested for you. I would love to get your feedback after you've had a look at it off show, of course. Have a listen to Libra and see what you think. Now, I also do know that Venus happens to be in your 10th house of career at the moment, so Cancer, yeah? Let's see what my dark moon astrology. I love these ones because they combine tarot with astrology, two of my favorite things. Let's pull a card there for you to see what the message is around that. I am going to tie everything together. Jupiter return benefits. This is tying in really, really well with that Libra message because it's quite prosperous, abundant and prosperous, but we're asking to channel stuff down. So benefits, Jupiter benefits. Let me get these out, and then I can tie them all together for you. Let's take Moonology. I love Moonology as well. We'll get the undercurrent of what the moon wants you to know, the secret self. This could be the Taurian energy coming through. But, Spirit Team, help us out with regards to channeling down what Azrael needs to do, what would be best beneficial. step out of your comfort zone. With the North, as you know, the North Node is pointing direction of where to go to, and this is saying step out of the side of your comfort zone. And we're looking at Jupiter return benefits. Do you know where your Jupiter is?
In placement in my chart, Aquarius.
Jupiter Aquarius, fantastic. Jupiter, you're going to experience a Jupiter return.
As of coming in January,
the Great Conjunction. Jupiter-Saturn conjunct 0 degrees Aquarius. So Jupiter return benefits. Okay, so towards... Oh, very interesting. I'm loving it. I'm loving how this is starting to shape up. Now, I've got Dreams of Gaia tarot that I also like to use. Some of these ones, I just draw one card to get that overlaying message. And with the other two tarot, I start drawing more to funnel down and get a bit more... concise, directive message. But what have we got here? Okay, the Nine of Air. All right, I love the artwork on these.
Oh, lovely.
They're really cool. So we've got the Nine of Air there, which is the equivalent to the Nine of Swords, which, okay, so if we're talking about the Nine of Air, it's talking about minimizing the choice or minimizing the confusion. Now, this is something that you might already be aware of, yourself, but it's saying trust the third. If you can see the artwork, the image, the eye, exactly, yes, where you just pointed, tap into that to do some third eye exercise and tap into that to really funnel down and channel is the word I'm looking for. Channel
is the word.
Yes. Yeah,
so intuitively, I've had a few moments. So just some background on myself. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, very, very strict Christian home. Okay. And when I broke off and I started doing this work professionally, I was terrified. Like, I was so terrified I was going to hell and all the above. And it's still with, you know, so now giving readings, it's one thing, but the notion of channeling, I've only done it a handful of times and it was by accident.
Yeah, I love it how it happens by accident. Yes.
So, but it's been the last three times have been very recent, and I've been having that push. I've been feeling that push to do more channeling stuff, and that makes me uncomfortable. So this makes sense. What you're saying right now.
What did you just say? It makes you uncomfortable.
Step out of the comfort zone.
Yeah. Look, my Libran friends, I've got a dear Libran friend. We've been friends for 20 years now, and this girl and I have been through a lot together. There is a bond there that is seriously unbreakable, and I understand how she works, and I can understand how the Libran part of her also works, and there are common themes. There are common themes, and I know that you would feel somewhat uncomfortable and icky going into those bits that just feel unusual. But we're in unusual times, and unusual times call for unusual measures, right?
Unusual stuff.
Unusual stuff. Let's see what my next one I'm using is my Essential Tarot. The artwork on this is really quite beautiful as well. And it's very simple. It's just simplistic. These are my go-to at the moment because I just love how they feel. They've taken to them quite well. They've given some really good energy and reading. So we're going to consult these ones.
Okay.
And we're going to have a look at funneling down that message of what it is that you need to do. So I'm just going to kind of draw them out. And then I'll hold them up and I'll talk through them, explain them.
Okay. Lovely. This is so in-depth. This is way more than what I...
Oh, really? I've often been told that I over-service, and I'm like, well, I don't know how to do it any other way. Okay.
You've been told similar things.
This is really... Yeah, I'd rather over-service than under-service, wouldn't you?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Same.
This is really, really quite good. So we've got the Eight of Cups.
Okay.
The Eight of Cups in your situation, and to help channel and narrow down what you're thinking, don't go for what looks good on paper. The Eight of Cups talks about everything seeming perfect. You know, when you look to give you a to give you a vision or an image, you've got the husband and wife and the 2.3 kids with the picket fence and the car and the boat and the garden is just completely manicured beautifully with roses and all that kind of stuff. But he's having an affair with the chick down the road. She's having an affair with his sister and one of the kids is doing drugs and whatever else. You know what I mean? It looks perfect on paper, but underneath it's not. And Eight of Cups also talks about walking away to find what really fulfills you, because cups being about emotion and heart.
Emotions, yeah.
Fulfills you. What of those choices that you have is going to light you up when you want to do it, because you're going to need to sustain it, right? And that's where the Six of Pentacles comes in. Pentacles is finance, career, stability, family, all the earthly things. It's an earth element. And the Six talks about the vibration of the Six is about recovery. It's about health and it's about moving on from the turmoil of the Five. So the Six of Pentacles is talking about stable finance, stable career, and not only what lights you up, but also what's going to be a firm base to build from.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm all about that.
Because then we've got the Ten of Cups, and this is a very happy ending card. The Ten of Cups is fulfillment, and that's where I see that moving to. Aim for fulfillment and what lights you up rather than what looks good on paper, okay? What you think that other people think is a good idea. It's not about other people. This is about you. What you think excites you, ignites that passion, puts that fire in your belly. The thing that you think of before you go to sleep and that thing that you think of just as you wake up, that's the idea to go with.
Oh, I'm so gonna Libra out over this for way too long. I already because you're talking about what looks good on paper, and I actually don't even know if it's the mediumship that body channeling that's what's coming up, because I'm actually going in the process of going back to school for mortuary science to be an embalmer.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Which, I mean, that does excite me, but then there is still that element of everybody's telling me right now, just this is what you need. I'm moving my fingers. Am I here?
I'm kind of like, because you froze for a bit and I'm trying to do the charm thing. I'm going...
I was doing the same thing.
Don't freeze.
Damn it.
So the last part that I caught from that is people are telling you it's what you should be doing. Is that right?
Yeah. So,
right.
But all along the way, I've had everybody telling me you need to go back to school, you need to do this, you need to do this. And so I was finally fairly recently, was like, what do I want to go to school for? If I am going to satisfy all of these people and just get them off my back, what would be something that, and I'm thinking, I'm an artist. I don't always like being around or working with other people. Dead bodies don't bother me. I'm a medium. I've seen plenty of them.
Yeah.
But to me, I was like, this on paper, this looks good. But it does feel good. So I'm going to have to weigh out what specifically this is, because there are two things going on that look good on paper that it could be either one of those. So
yeah,
but that's good to know. That's very good to know.
Yeah, keep going back to what lights you up when you're making when you're deliberating and you're making a choice. Passion. What lights you up, what excites you, and what's going to continue to excite you. Now, I know that we can only do the best that we can fast forwarding into the future to go, am I still going to be happy doing this? But you have to go, no, now. You know that just as much as I do. We've got to work with present energy, yeah?
Yeah.
So go with what excites you, lights you up, and your passion. Now, the mistake that people make with passion, everybody keeps saying passion is what you love. Passion is what you know, if you're passionate about something, it's just the be all and end all. Passion is what you make sacrifice for too. Okay, passion isn't all roses and rainbows and, oh, I'm passionate about this and so it's just to be. What are you prepared to sacrifice as well? Because passion, you make sacrifices for what you're passionate about. Also,
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that just sang so beautifully, this beautiful melody into my heart. I love that.
Oh, fantastic. That's really cool. But
it's true.
Because people talk about what you're passionate about. Well, assess what you're passionate about. Are you prepared to make sacrifices for what you're passionate about? Are you prepared to lose sleep? Are you prepared to lose friends? Are you prepared to lose, you know what I mean? Because as
family members.
Family members, absolutely. Those networks. Are you prepared to lose those things in pursuit of what it is your soul is urging you to do?
Well, then, I would say that I've already, that's my answer. It's what I'm doing right now.
Right, absolutely. The other thing to take, if we bring it to earthly matter as well, because I've just pulled out the Four of Wands and the Emperor for you. If we bring it down to an earthly matter, what's needed? What's the soul contract you made? What were you put here for? What's needed as we go into this new age, this new cycle, and the changes that are happening on the world stage at the moment? People like you and I are needed. We're not that common. You know what I mean? Like, when the chips are down, what gets you through? It's your spirit. The human spirit gets you through anything. Your belief system, your faith. Belief is the most powerful force. People say love. It's up there. But belief. Like, I'm just being real with that. Love's up there, you know. But belief is the most powerful force in this universe. And that's what we're teaching people to do, ultimately. But what we're ultimately doing for people is creating their belief system and getting them to tap into belief and faith, empowering people to that. How our video started off with, you are in control. Needed, this kind of stuff is needed, and building your empire. Four of Wands. Wands is about spirit. It's about energy. It's about action, drive, passion. The Wands suit of tarot. And the Four, this is a very happy celebratory card.
Yay!
Yeah, happy energy, good vibe, energy, and building your empire like the Emperor. Building your empire based on that. So just mull that over. Has that helped with regards to making a decision and choice? It's giving
exponentially. Exponentially, yes. Yes, thank you very much for that. Again, way more in depth than I had anticipated. I appreciate this so much. I have not had cards read for me since I was 23.
Oh, there's that number again. That number is haunting me. Yeah, really? That's quite a long time. Oh, I'm happy.
So I appreciate, and that reading out now, the reading was good. I went to her a few times, but it was very basic. What this was, I'm going to get creative and think of something beautiful to title it, because there it's more than just tarot.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you do, it's much more than, and I say that with respect, but put that in quotes, than just tarot. You know, you are not just a tarot card reader. It's so much more than that.
Absolutely, absolutely, it is. People need tools. It's not enough to go, this is what's going to happen. There needs to be more to it as to, this is what's going to happen. Here's your options about how you go about it.
Mm-hmm.
What might need to happen, or you might need to employ or to engage in that circumstance. My working history is 20 plus years in the corporate world, training, coaching, and developing. So sitting with people, breaking things down so people can understand it, trying to get the best out of people, turning these wayward employees around who just, you know, didn't put any effort, and getting them to try, getting them to learn, getting them to engage in their role. I had to learn a lot of tools of the trade and what's going to get the best out of people, how to talk to them, how to match different people on their different levels, because people hear things differently and they learn differently. And I've been able to bring that into this.
And it's so cool.
And deliver it in a way that is very 21st century, pragmatic, down to earth. You know, it's not Purple Monkey Dishwasher. It's like this. It's this is this, and this is how you go about fixing it and working with that energy. Yeah.
Yeah. And now what are you going to do? Now it's up to you.
And I love that bit most of all. It's like, okay, I've helped you now. Thanks. Bye. Good luck.
I know. So what do you have that's like predominantly air? We'll talk about this later because that's very much an air sign quality. Okay, I'm going to start all of this and then you go and take it and have fun.
Exactly. It took a while to learn that, though. I was very much attached to an outcome when starting this work for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as I've gotten older and it's more wise and mature experience, I get to that spot where it's like, you know what? I don't care what you do with it. And I mean that with love. I'm saying that.
Of course.
It's not my responsibility what you do with this. This is your life, your journey. You need to make it. I'm just the messenger. And when I realized that, it took so much pressure off and things just started flowing better and I felt better about it.
I've shared that experience, definitely. Yeah. When I first started out, same thing. I was always checking up and making sure, okay, did you do this? And it's like, why am I? And so many times, so frequently, no, they didn't do any of the things that we talked about. I'm like, but, and then then I'm trying to be the cheerleader. Okay, no, but you can do this. You can do this. And this is, you know, I want to help people, but now it's like, okay, I'm putting way too much of your work on me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely understand that.
That is awesome. I love it. You're the cheerleader. No, but I'm helping you. I'm giving you the answers. I'm helping you. Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah. I'm giving you the answers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even now with friendships, and it's one of those things I love growing older, because it is growing wiser. I would never go back ever in my life. You couldn't pay me to go back.
No.
Because even with friendships and relationships, it's like, okay, you ask for my advice. This is my advice. I'll help you plan something out. But then that's on you. And then you check in. Hey, have you done? No, because this came up. And then, oh, okay. Well, you know.
Yeah, fine. Your life, your deal. Like, like I'm married and we have a cat and a dog, like a puppy and a kitten. They're only 7 months old each. I find it hard enough being responsible for them.
Oh.
I don't want to be responsible for somebody else's life journey, what you did or didn't do. I don't have that kind of duty. I don't have that time. You know? Like, no.
Well, thank you so much. We cut out. I was just thanking you so much for your time.
Oh, we're back. Oh, you're welcome.
We're back.
You are very, very welcome. I'm very honored and I appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun. You're a top chick and this has been really good.
Oh, thank you so much. No, likewise, I'm very excited to do some blending together. You know, I know that we can definitely help, and I would love to see you do online courses, especially right now with everybody trapped inside.
Yeah.
This is like, there's really no excuse. You're inside, you have a computer, you have a phone, you have a tablet, you have an iPad, you have a what the flippity flop ever. And you can spend some time not watching Netflix and learning something.
I'm totally up for that. I love teaching and I love training. And if I can combine that with this work, I'm all in.
Yes. Awesome. Project.
Yeah.
Leave it to the air sign to start a new project. Rick, how do our listeners contact you if they want a reading or if they are interested in classes and they want more info on that?
Yeah, for sure. So my website is Rick M. King, so M for Michael, rickmking.com. You can contact me through there. There's a contact page. Have a bit of a read about me as well. It's very short, sweet, and simple. It's not an over-the-top website. You can also see me on YouTube. Rick-Michael is my first name, King my surname. Check out my videos there. I do sage advice, which is talking about all things astrological, personal development. I do Pick a Pouch, which is a fun, interactive.
I love the Pick a Pouch.
Oh, you do? You've seen it?
You I like love it? The Pick a Pouch. Yes.
Oh, cool.
I can't believe I didn't think to bring that up. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's all right. It's a lot of fun. I love it. I love Pick a Pouch. It's just, it's, you know, I can do my stuff, not take myself too seriously, but there is important message in there for people to take away. And I love that they trust their own intuition and empower themselves to choose.
Yes.
The amount of people that come back and go, oh my God, that was spot on. It's like, well, I didn't do it. You chose it.
You did it.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah. You did it. You trusted your intuition and there you go. So yeah. Also Instagram as well, Rick Michael King, full name or one word. And I'm also on LinkedIn too, where I update some stuff as well. So you can get me on all of those.
It's a lot of, you are very accessible.
I am. I don't do Facebook and I don't do Twitter and I don't do Snapchat because I don't want to be, you know, juggling all of these media platforms. So just the one where I think the most value gets added.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I need to add another thing to my to-do list. Guess what I started and never finished? I started a LinkedIn and never finished it. So now I have this drive to finish that so that I can follow you on LinkedIn. We can connect.
Asriel, get on there because people like you and I need to be getting into this professional platform arena.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for the real estate agents and the entrepreneurs and the graphic designers and the leaders of this and CEOs that, blah, 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 blah. As this agent, yeah, blah, 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 blah. That's technical language.
Love it. Yes, I understand.
We are becoming the new professionals. So that New Age pioneer title, the pioneer, we need to remove that stigma that is attached to
yes.
It is all hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo. It's actually not. It's real. It's a huge part of life. Science mm-hmm. is starting to catch up with its quantum entanglement and, you know, quantum physics. That's just their way of explaining what we already know how to work with, energy.
Exactly. But
yeah. As pioneers, look, it's a tough job. We're going to get in the teeth. We're going to get laughed at. We've got hundreds, if not thousands, of years of prejudice to work against, plus the charlatans that we have to fight against as well in this
industry. I know.
We've got a hard chore, but someone's got to do it, and we need to pioneer that stuff.
I love it. Yes! Oh, I'm so motoed out right now. Yeah! Well, thank you again, Rick, so much for your time being on the show and with your expertise and for that amazing reading. That's exactly what I needed and was much more, again, like I said, way more than what I had anticipated. To our listeners, baby steps and whatever you're comfortable with. And if you're not in with psychics, but you love tarot or you love astrology and not tarot or psychic, but whatever, you know, like you know, you have a very solid source of information in this man, and I hope that everybody who's listening now and in the future, as this Twilight Zone episode just carries farther and farther and farther into the distance in the cosmos, I hope that you reach out and get to know who Rick is, because just beautiful, beautiful soul, and I've so enjoyed having this time with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. I love that. That makes me feel good. Thank you.
Good. Well, for anybody at Asriel Seer on Asriel Seer, you can always DM me or email me. I love when people reach out and make contact. Also, I would like some ideas for any upcoming shows, that any topics that anybody would like to hear that I haven't yet touched on. Bring them on. You know, I've got a lot of projects, so I could use a little help coming up with some material. But other than that, again, thank you so much for listening. Rick, thank you for your time. And until next week, namaste.
Namaste.